All right, everyone. It's Thursday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and that can mean only one thing, at least one thing we're allowed to talk about, and that would be that it's time for Free for All, your libertarian talk show on once again, right here at Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com, or you could follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, X, basically anywhere these types of things are displayed. You'll find us at Grumblings Media, all one word, at Grumblings Media. And I think that's enough pimping for right now, because I'm excited to get right into our show. First, let me introduce my co-host, the handsome gentleman right over there, Mr. Hody Johns. Hoadster, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, man, doing well. You know, the only thing better than a libertarian talk show is a libertarian game show.
So
super stoked about our guest today.
Absolutely. And Hody, listen, before we introduce our guest, I want you to remind you something. Every so often, I want you to very subtly and surreptitiously point to the QR code right off the top of your head and remind folks to go get our swag. We got plenty of new swag. We'll even pimp those on occasion during the show in between topics, but just wanted to throw that in. You like that sort of subtle reinforcement, that subliminal reinforcement, Hoadster? Gotta get that in there.
I love it, man. Why have shame when we are as awesome as we are? I'm drinking out of a Grumblings Media mug right now, and okay. The QR code, that's how you can get it. That's how you can get it, too.
Right. Subliminal messaging and absolutely no shame combined with no revenue is exactly the recipe for selling swag on podcasts. All right, everyone. As promised, we're very excited to have our guest tonight. You know him possibly, probably, likely from the game show Are You Smarter Than a Politician? He goes by the name of Free. He is joining us here tonight. Free, thank you for joining Free for All. How you doing, buddy?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm a big fan of the show and a big fan of both of yours, so this is a thrill for me.
Oh, really? A thrill? You got that whole thrill as opposed to the usual garbage we have pelted at us before and after shows. Thank you, Free, for joining us. And everyone, please join. Make sure you check out Free's show, Are You Smarter Than a Politician? Our own Hoadster was on it last week, I believe, ended up winning. It's a big trophy for us. It's a virtual trophy for us. Free, give a quick plug for your show.
Yeah, so I'm the creator and the host of Are You Smarter Than a Politician? It's on Tuesdays and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern. The idea of it, it's a satirical game show that teaches us about regaining our freedom, and it's through an entertainment and comedy format. And the twist is that the chat controls the score. So I like to say it's the only place where your vote actually counts. And, you know, I do this with Terry Batts and a bunch of my really funny friends. And we're just trying to make liberty fun and relatable through, you know, fast-paced, high-energy show. And, you know, one of my big goals is to personify people in the movement like, you know, Hody, and we'd love to have you on. But, you know, I want people to realize that we're, you know, interesting people, funny people with great things to tell you about and, you know, give a face and voices to people that, you know, people might not know about. So we've had Spike Cohen, Chase Oliver, Scott Horton, Larry Sharp. And this week we have the LP Alliance folks on in a grudge match. So we've got Kyle Davis, Amanda right. Griffiths, and Phil Rain, and they've been talking smack already. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. I'll tune in for that. Those LP Alliance folks, I love them all, but I will give you one piece of advice. Make sure you have some sort of timer on them because, like, sometimes you don't know if they're going to go half an hour or 12 hours sometimes. Yeah. They're so enthusiastic about talking about liberty. Sometimes as adults, you got to just rein them in every so often. But speaking of Terry, Terry's watching us, and she says, let's go. All right, Terry, we're going to get right to it then. Okay, so tonight's episode, Free and Hoadster, is titled The Authoritarian Drift of the Trump Administration. Now, you know, as libertarians, and if you happen to be of the anti-MAGA persuasion specifically, you know, you always hear the Trump is a dictator, Trump is Hitler, Trump is Mussolini, whatever you want to pick out of that. And to the extent that that may or may not be true, fair enough. But the point of this show is not to this episode, rather, is not to deal in hyperbole, but rather let's see if we can perhaps determine if that is the case. Is the administration tilting towards more and more authoritarianism? The first topic to talk about, which we talked about last week on Free for All, but it will serve for as a nice opening, a nice appetizer on this topic, is the federalization and of Washington, D.C. Now, gentlemen, I want to get your opinion on this, and if you feel that this is a justified example of perhaps authoritarian tilt of the administration. Now, as we know, Trump called in the cavalry, basically, in Washington, D.C. You've got all sorts of feds running around there, ICE, National Guard, FBI, working with and in some cases around MPD. Trump himself has said, hey, if there's a big crime spree and if I get called a dictator for federalizing Washington, D.C., well, maybe the people just prefer a dictator. Maybe that's okay. So let me start off with you, Free. What do you think? Is the federalization of Washington, D.C. justified? If it is, quickly tell us why. And if it's not, tell us why you think it might be a sign of authoritarian drift on the part of the Trump administration.
Yeah, I hate it. It's hardcore authoritarianism. It's the exact opposite of what we should be doing. The federal government should have no say in our daily lives, let alone occupying our streets as a military presence. You know, it goes all the way back to the founding fathers. You know, the Constitution was written to stop military occupation of civilians. And, you know, standing armies in our neighborhoods is exactly what we were fighting against in the Revolution. So I think it goes all the way back to you know, our founding documents that it's not allowed. And, you know, using it to, you know, whether it's an authoritarian flex or for more control, whatever the goal is, I don't think it's necessary. Crime rates are down in these cities. And, you know, I think it's just a way of you know, overrunning these cities and taking control of them.
Cody, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I shouldn't be surprised that the game show host had a great answer to the questions that he usually asks every week.
Right.
To me, this is just one of those things that we said this last week, Big John, that he was prepping to go beyond Washington, D.C. And as though we were prophetic, like the next day, he did, right? Like, it was just like because we admitted, yeah, he's legally allowed to do what he's doing in D.C., not legally allowed to go elsewhere. He's dipping his toe in the water. We were correct. He federalized it. Actually, the announcement came when Free was live on his game show that they were mobilizing the troops in those areas. Here's the big issue here. I said this last week, so I'll just cover it briefly. They are arresting fewer people than the average in Washington, D.C. They're putting the numbers all big, but it is actually fewer arrests. They are arresting fewer violent criminals, and they are arresting more victimless criminals. That is just simply the data. Like, and you can even extrapolate this from Trump's own numbers. They're bragging about illegal guns seized. They're bragging about cocaine, right? And there is occasionally they will bust, like, hey, there was this, you know, sex trafficking ring or you know, prostitution ring or a drug bust or something like that. Or, you know, they caught a murderer who was out on bail. And if you actually look at the details, a lot of those were in progress already by the police. It is just Trump's administration taking credit. So the worst of the criminal offenses were already being done by the police. I think Trump used this as an opportunity to say, hey, we want to bust Chicago and Oklahoma and Detroit and other places that have the tough crime rate. And where did he deploy the troops? Everywhere but Chicago, Oklahoma, and Detroit. This was not actually about crime. This was always about accomplishing an authoritarian agenda. If you put a magnet on, I'm in Utah, one of the places that I'm here, and we got the troops deployed here despite our ridiculously low crime rates. And it's simply the fact we've proved this already with my family this week. Put a Mexican flag sticker on the back of our car, got pulled over about 8 times already. I can't go anywhere with that kind of thing. It is clear what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and as if to, you know, plug out to Liberty Lens, the other Liberty show here on Grumblings Media with my co-host Mike Termau, this week's episode dropped this morning. It was actually, part of it was the federalization of D.C., and it is very layered, you know, because if you grow up in a crime, if you live in a crime-ridden area, politics comes second, right? The first thing you want is, I want to be able to walk the streets at night. I want to be able to make sure my kids are safe. I want to be able to make sure my significant other and my family is safe. And he, to some extent, he might be doing that. But to your point, Hody, if you actually look at the stats, it's not happening that way. MPD, statistically, year over year, for the same time period. Now, as I said, as a data scientist, I would never take 1 week's worth of data and use it to tout anything, right? But since the administration is doing it, I feel I can comment on it then, right? For the 1 week period, the White House announced 1,000 arrests, slightly over 1,000 arrests, I think 1,004, something to that effect. For the same period, year over year, MPD had recorded 1,067 arrests, literally almost identical numbers. The difference is that MPD doesn't have a social media squad following them around, promoting every little arrest, every little stop. And to your point, there's a lot of immigration arrests in that number, Hody, that typically were not done last year. So to your point, it could be argued that they're actually being less efficient and less effective. But to the extent that it builds up Trump's image as a strong man, a protector, and a leader of the country, and to the extent that it projects a strong man image, let me show you a picture here, and tell me what you guys think of it, right? So look at this picture. This is not an artist's conception. This is an actual photo of Washington, D.C. And Chase Oliver, I believe, said something interesting about it. He said, this is surreal. I'm looking at the White House putting up a big banner of the president as if he's big brother, overlooking, beloved leader, just like the man he admires, Kim Jong-un, and armed services patrolling the streets, taking over policing functions. Free, what does this picture bring up in your mind? When you see something like this, what does it stir up in you?
Yeah, I'm just surprised they're not goose-stepping, to be honest. And, you know, I mean, it's just – it's a scary picture from a history book is really what it is. And, you know, I don't get how people don't get the symbolism of how wrong this is. And, you know, that this is the first step towards all of the things that, you know, my grandfather fought against and, you know, our ancestors fought against in Europe and other places. – You know, I can't believe that people are cheering this on.
Yeah, Hody, what is this? I know you're disappointed at this type of image. And listen, to be fair, I think if you were to look a couple of columns to the camera right of the flag, there was also a Teddy Roosevelt banner put up. So to be in full transparency, so I don't want to get accused of being fake media here or mainstream media, there was also a banner of Teddy Roosevelt. But still, this is the evocative image, Hody, and tell me what you think. Free says he's surprised they're not goose-stepping. What do you think?
Yeah, well said again. And honestly, this is something that you would see in – when we make comparisons, obviously Trump has not hit Hitler numbers or Mussolini numbers, right? But they don't – authoritarians don't hit those numbers because we have the warnings, because we push back against it, right? This is the exact kind of image. You mentioned that it's cropped, Big John, and you're correct. Yeah. But where did we get this picture? From the Trump media accounts, right? Like this is they are the ones that did the cropping, right? They want to be big and scary. They want this to be a freaky place to live, depending on the color of your skin, the type of behavior you're engaged in, what you might say about, you know, Israel or Palestine. This is they want this idea that this is going to be a scary place for you if you don't behave the way he wants. And right. So this is why that you get these images like this. As you mentioned already, they're doing very little. But the idea is creating this image that they will, you know, do something about you if you step out of line, right? Like I mentioned, yeah. Mexican flag on the back of the car getting pulled over, like this is just the start of it. We are only a half a year into Trump's 4-year term. And if we don't look at stuff like this and go, guys, this is a problem. I know the White House is bragging about that, but this is a problem. It's only going to get worse.
Yep. I agree with you. All right. So yeah, that, an actually fairly depressing image. All right. let's talk about our second thing. And I'm just finding out that our X streams are not streaming the show for some odd reason. So if anyone is listening to us for whatever reason, feel free to go to YouTube, Rumble, or Facebook Live. We're streaming there just fine, according to what I'm seeing here on the dashboard. We'll have someone try to work on that in the background while we're talking. I apologize for that. All right. Section two. Wait, let's catch up on some comments while we're here. Joe, they need to arrest the real criminals in D.C. I hear they are coming back from recess soon. Absolutely. Absolutely there, Joe. 100% in agreement with you. Chris Townsend on YouTube says, we don't need a leader. We need a protector of the Constitution. Absolutely. 100% correct on that one. Patty Boots.
My apparently, buddy, Patty.
Buddy, you're about to Patty. Apparently, like the goose stepping line three. I think that's when that one managed to find its way into the stream. Chris again with another comment. Well, Teddy was pretty authoritarian, so that tracks. Yeah, I guess it does. You got to find the right strongman. Historically leading up to the current strongman. Chris, the Freedom Coach. I'm here on X, working well. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. It's not showing up on our dashboard, so hopefully the folks out there can actually see us. Joe confirming it. I'm on X now. Okay, good. So we seem to be going everywhere. Okay, let's talk about our second sort of set of circumstances to sort of extend why we think the Trump administration has drifted into authoritarianism or is getting there fairly soon. Hody, let me start this off with you. This week, on August 25th, the president signed an executive order directing DOJ to prosecute flag burning tied to incitement with penalties up to 1 year in prison, to which, of course, our favorite Barbie doll, Pam Blondie, immediately said, yes, boss, and ran off to implement this. They already arrested a veteran who very, in my opinion, peacefully burned an American flag on private property in front of the White House. He was promptly arrested and hauled away. Odie, if we read the text, it is true that it does not say that you're being arrested for flag burning. You're being arrested for incitement. What do you think of this? Is this just a pretense, or is there actual something to this?
Yeah, well, it showed they've already arrested somebody who is not inciting violence, right? And this now, in fairness to that particular case, he was on federal property, which is why, you know, he got arrested or whatever.
Right.
So legally, I understand what's going on there. But, you know, this is already... this is already against the Supreme Court, right? This has already been ruled on. The idea, the exception they're trying to make is, no, that said flag burning is legal, but this says flag burning in trying to incite violence is illegal. Well, here's the thing. It's already illegal to incite violence.
Right.
That is already, like, illegal. We don't need an executive order for that.
Right.
What this is doing is that this is broadening the idea of what actually is inciting violence and telling people to take a specific look at burning the American flag. Whether you like it or not, it's a piece of cloth. There's nothing sacred about it. It's speech. You cannot like speech, but if you want people to actually love the American flag, maybe do some cool American things as opposed to some naughty American things, right? Like people are upset with us. We have taken people, the people who are burning the American flag are people we've oppressed, right? Hey, stop oppressing them. If you really want the American flag to be loved, then that's the best way to do it. As a Christian, we go through this all the time. People want to burn Bibles, and what's the best way to stop them? Well, I don't want to send, you know, armed Christians into every home making sure that you're not burning Bibles.
Right.
It's to tell people, hey, we need to love our neighbors a lot better. People that love their neighbors, you know, that stops the Bible burning. So really, this is just an authoritarian way to go about a practice that may bother people, and it's sad.
Free, do you agree that and I think, look, I think we can all agree it was just a pretense for this executive order. And to Hody's point, as libertarians, we should already be against, on principle, victimless crimes, right? But to the extent of it is an intimidation tactic, do you think it'll be effective in suppressing people's speech?
I think any sort of lawfare, you know, can be very effective because the second you're entered into the system, it's going to cost you at a minimum days of work or, you know, bail money, you know, depending on where you're at economically, that could be devastating. So any sort of lawfare is effective even when it doesn't end up in a guilty, you know, outcome.
Right.
And so I think that's part of it. But I think the overall thing here is that what they really want is they want people to give them bad media. And by that, I mean, they want, you know, very lo-fi videos of two people burning a flag and making it look like, you know, fringe lunatics that hate this country that they can put in their campaign videos and make it look like, you know, the resistance is all these people that are off their meds and there's only two of them and, you know, everybody else is for us. It's just these, you know, fringe lunatics that are against us. And so I think they're egging people on to post on social media burning a flag and having a hard time getting it lit and, you know, making fools of themselves. You know, the rule about, you know, burning a flag is dumb, but burning a flag's kind of dumb too. So, you know, if you don't have high production quality and make it look like, you know, a Rage Against the Machine video, it's going to look like you're just, you know, some fringe lunatic.
Well, I do agree with you that, you know, I don't particularly see it as being an effective thing unless you are in a crowd of people and you are portraying and you end up playing into the president's hand, into MAGA's hands, right? But I do think it's chilling because, for example, there's a crazy woman in Texas running for office. Her name is Valentina Gomez or something. Anyway, a Latina woman. Super Christian, sorry, Hody, not to use that as a pejorative. And she released something on X this week, which showed her saying that she plans to drive. She needs to be elected because she plans on driving every single Muslim out of Texas. And to prove her point, she was strapped with a flamethrower and set a Quran on fire. You know, and it was high production value, right? From multiple angles, slow motion, you know, the whole nine yards. Okay. Now, personally, I think that's more of an – I don't think either one of these two acts are incitements to riot in and of themselves. But if I was to weigh the two, the one that does lean more heavily into inciting violence would be the person with the flamethrower purposely inciting an entire group of people after you've just stated that you want to drive them out of your home state. You know, it's, you know, like those LPNH guys on super steroids, right? So you do have that, but yet no words out of the White House saying like, hey, you know what? If you're going to set fire to things like a flag, maybe setting fire to a Quran might also be considered an incitement and maybe also punishable up to a year in prison. But we didn't hear that at all. And what we're hearing only is if you set this flag on fire. Now, honestly, I think President Trump should be one of the few people that understands that it's a very high bar to get convicted on incitement to riot or incitement to violence, right? So I think this is nothing more than show. It's a pretense, just like the federalization of Washington, D.C. was a pretense. I think this is just another step towards the overall drift into authoritarianism. Okay, before we move on to the next topic, let me just catch up on some of the comments here. Joe says apparently he was arrested for burning a flag on forest property. You're right. So he agrees with Hody on that one. Chris. Deborah Harry might take offense to calling Bondi Blondie. Well, maybe she would. Probably she would take offense to that. For more than that, though. Chris echoes what Free said. Benny Jobs automatically fire you if you're arrested. That might be the case as well. Casey says, yo, Casey, glad to see some of the Are You Smarter Than a Politician crew showing up to catch us. Welcome, everyone. Hope you enjoy your stay. Chris, deterrence through fear is not leadership, it's tyranny. Absolutely. Phil Rain, look at these three handsome gentlemen. Okay, I'll agree with you on that one. Look at us, three handsome gentlemen all here on Free For All. Thanks, Phil. Good to see you again. Terry, perhaps they are trying to get flag burning back in front of the Supreme Court. They might. To Terry's point, something I didn't mention is J.D. Vance, who I consider to be much more dangerous and authoritarian than President Trump, because while I view President Trump as an idiot, I think J.D. Vance is not an idiot. I think he's very smart, very intelligent, and very calculating. So I think anything you hear out of him is all part of a plan. Whereas I think Trump just, you know, he opens his mouth, stuff falls out of his pie hole. That's one thing, you know, charisma aside. Vance, on the other hand, I think is much more intelligent, much more calculating. So what he did say was, hey, we know that this executive, we know flag burning is legal under Texas versus Johnson. Then the next thing he said was, generally speaking, I think Scalia was the best Supreme Court justice, third one. But, you know, he was wrong about Texas versus Johnson. So it was this thought progression from, we're not violating that SCOTUS ruling. Yeah, I like Scalia. Guess what? I think he was wrong about tech. You know, you shouldn't be allowed to burn the flag. So you do see this progression where it may be something that's brought up again before. Maybe, you know, the Solicitor General for Trump gets to put that in front of the Supreme Court. All right, everyone. Before we move on to the next topic, just want to say you're watching Free For All here on Grumblings Media. Thank you for joining us. If you're interested in helping the boys out, why don't you go buy some of our swag, okay? Let me put up some of this beautiful stuff right here. We've got a mug, much like the one Hody is drinking out of. Check it out. Maybe snap that QR code, give it a shot. You can also, maybe if you're so inclined, buy one of our T-shirts, the Grumblings Media Classic T-shirt, just our classic logo on a T-shirt. Get your chance to go that. Or if you don't care about branding us or anything, how about a really golden black, beautiful, live free T-shirt for all our liberty-loving fans out there? Give it a shot. We're selling these basically at cost, folks. We're not looking to make money. We're just trying to get the word out there. Move some stuff. We only make a couple of bucks on it. Click that QR code. Really appreciate it. And if at any time during the show you feel like checking out the rest of what's in our online shop, just click that QR up there by Hody's head over there. I think that'll take you to our store at any time, right up there. Yeah, everybody lean that way. Okay, moving on. Our third topic that I want to talk about. The state-controlled economy. You know, guys, I was told during the election that if I didn't vote for Donald Trump, the country would spiral into the pit of socialism. That's what I was told. And I guess I must have done something wrong. I guess it was true because I voted for Chase Oliver, and here we are. We're spiraling into socialism. So I guess the MAGA guys were right after all. The federal government got itself nearly a 10%, 9.9% equity stake in chip maker Intel. Now, they didn't get this as a result of a bailout. They got this after strong-arming Intel into giving them 10% of their company. Now, Intel was quick to say, this equity stake comes with no voting privileges, no board influence, nothing like that. I got a bridge in Brooklyn I could sell you if you believe that. But basically, this comes after President Trump publicly targeted and lambasted Intel CEO Lip Bu Tan. Now, this guy was being accused it was being suggested, Hody and Free, that he should resign because of his, quote, China ties, notwithstanding the president's own business interests in China. So Intel said, hey, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we're either going to be prevented from doing business. Our CEO has to resign. They're already paying a VIG for the privilege of selling their chips overseas in certain overseas markets thanks to their to the Trump tariffs. So, guys, they had to give up 10% of their company to the U.S. government. The U.S. government is now an owner Intel. Free, talk to me about this. Why is this? Explain to me. I'm stumped. Why is this not socialism? Why is this not a centrally controlled economy at this point?
Well, you took my line. I mean, it sounds like socialism to me. You know, they're trying to control the means of production. And, you know, he already said that he's looking at more companies to take a stake in.
Right.
And, you know, that's not even talking about that they already control the monetary policy and, you know, the interest rates and all of these subsidies and all these different ways that they manipulate the economy overall. But now they're going to actually take stakes in companies. And we're, you know, they're the number one healthcare provider, you know, the Social Security, you know, it's very socialist. And I don't get how people don't understand that it's not we're worried about socialism, is it's both parties are pushing us towards socialism and it's already here.
Odie.
Yeah, they already control so much of the economy, and this is just the next step, right? Like, this is just an escalation. They already say who can manufacture what, here's the licensing you need, they're picking winners and losers, they're telling people what energy they're allowed to use, what energy they're not allowed to be able to use, and this is just the next step. You know, might as well start owning companies at this point. And it is absolutely, it is not only socialism, it's national socialism. And I think there's a word for that in history, but, oh, I better not say it out loud. But yeah, this is, here's the thing. If you are a Republican and you say, hey, well, I trust Trump with Intel. Okay, do you trust who comes after Trump with Intel? Do you trust whoever comes after Trump? Do you trust the Democrats now that Trump has opened the door to controlling companies, to having a controlling interest
right.
in a company.
Right.
Do you trust the Democrats to have that too? Door's already open. Why not? Right? They've been wanting this forever, and Trump's just given it to them. And you think the Democrats are going to push back on this? Absolutely not. Right? This works out well for them. You know, there are certain things the Democrats and Republicans unite in. They both want to be able to control immigration and you know, get to control that voter base and whoever loves the duopoly the most. And this is another one, the economy. They both want to centrally plan it. They both want to be able to own as much of the companies as they can. And they're just, at this point, MAGA has stopped virtue signaling to the markets. And they are now just going to say, we trust Daddy Trump, and accidentally then, as a result, say, we also trust whoever comes after him. And that's kind of the main problem here. Listen, a lot of people are saying this is going to get overturned maybe, but we've been allowing so much centralization. I don't know, right? It's going to require somebody in Congress to actually file an appeal and get this kind of thing passed. And I don't know that that's going to happen because, like I said, they kind of like owning companies quite a bit. And yeah. And here's the issue. If we learned anything from the lockdowns, listen, by the time they ruled that the lockdowns were unconstitutional and it was struck down, you know, in the courts, lockdowns were over. Too late.
Yeah, yeah.
Damage done, right? No restitution in the meantime. So even if Trump only gets this power for like a little bit, damage is going to be done. And so whether it's long-term or short-term, this is like a really scary thing. And they're dipping a small toe with 10% in one company, but this is opening so many other doors that I mean, it's going to be 11%, 12%, you know, and then 50%, 60%. We've already seen escalations like this, and it's just going to keep going.
And what's worse is that this came after all the – see, what people don't realize is you see a lot of this the administration – touting all its successes as the result of its like ridiculous tariffs and all its dopey economic policies. And one of the things you hear is, oh, look at all the investment that's been happening. Look at all these new jobs being brought in here. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, the first thing you have to understand is that is the result of mafioso-like strong-arming. This is a perfect example of that. Like, for example, NVIDIA had to agree to bring some of its production onshore in the U.S. because they were getting not hit with tariffs because they were trying to export. Remember? The U.S., supposedly, these tariffs were to get you to export, to shift the trade deficit in our favor. So it doesn't make any sense that the Trump administration would penalize chip makers for trying to export stuff. under the guise of national security, they were strong-armed into paying a VIG, 15%, to be able to sell overseas. And what you're seeing now is that in addition to that, hey, the CEO is Chinese, therefore we're gonna insinuate that he might be working for the People's Republic, so unless they give us 10%, which, by the way, it was a giveaway because the money that they received for those shares was already earmarked for them under the CHIPS Act. So it's not like they did anything other than turn over a part of their company. And like to you, what you both you guys said, absolutely. This is nothing more than a centrally planned economy, whether it's who you sell to, who you buy from, and owning a piece of everything. Further complicating this, guys, and Hody knows this, perhaps the biggest buffoon in the Trump administration, Commerce Secretary Lutnick. Boy, this guy is such a buffoon, and he is such a butt kisser. You can still see his lipstick on Trump's trousers whenever they get done with one of those transparent meetings. He said, hey, now that we've strong-armed Intel into giving us 10%, and we're looking to get a piece of other private companies, you know what the next thing to do is? We're going to demand a piece of every patent that originated as a result of university work that receives federal aid. So they're trying to grab ownership of patents that came through the university system. And let's face it, except for like Hillsdale College, I think every university in the United States, to one extent or another, one degree or another rather, gets some form of federal aid. So let's start off with Freegan. What do you think of this idea? Lutnick is saying, hey, let's go for a piece of all the patents that come out of university research.
Well, so it's interesting because, you know, they started talking about putting a dividend on the tariffs, that they would return some of the money to, you know, the taxpayers. And, you know, to me, that's an interesting thing because it's not, you know, universal income, but it's a dividend, right? But, you know, so if they, you know, if they're going to return money to people, like we're basically investors in this corporation, that starts to make a little bit of sense to me. But what you know is they're going to take all this money and they're just going to, you know, start more wars and occupy more cities and do terrible things with it. You know, all of these bailouts should have been stakes in these companies. If you're going to bail them out, you might as well get something for it. So, you know, it's we're so far down this path. I don't know how you adjust other than, you know, if you could give money back to us for, you know, I mean, all of space, for example, is an interesting one because, you know, there's this race on to go and mine minerals in space, which is going to be extremely lucrative, but that's all using technology that taxpayers paid for. So technically we are investors in all of that. So maybe some money should return from that, but you know, for them to get a stake in it and then just go waste it, you know, on, you know, spending, you know, $10 trillion on regime change wars, you know, that's just terrible. But, you know, I don't disagree with if you're going to have everything, you know, part of the government, then we should be getting money back from it. We shouldn't be paying any income tax and we should be getting dividends.
Hody.
This is creating a moment where we say – I think this to me is the most dangerous type of behavior because it's not something that's happening now. It's something that's happening later, right? That this is like going forward, this is what's going to happen. In the Build Back Better Act, Joe Biden's – I'm sorry. It was the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm sorry. He made it so that all drug companies, all new drugs had to get monopolized. They even use the term monopoly, right? Now, this isn't going to happen immediately, right? But because, you know, what's existing in the market is existing in the market. But somebody's going to develop a new seizure medication, a new cancer medication, a new, right, new kind of treatment. And automatically, what happens? That's going to go to a monopoly, right? Like, that's going to get monopolized. And it's insidious because we're just going to say, oh, this is the process. This is how it works. It's not It's not taking something and changing it. It's making it so that going forward, this is the way things are going to work. And so it's just, I think to me, this is just the most insidious kind of thing, because we are not going to have these explosive conversations. We're going to walk around like it's something out of 1984 and just go, well, isn't that always the way it worked? Right? Like people who don't pay, people aren't glued to politics like us. They're just going to be like, I don't know. What was it before? This seems normal. You know, I don't know. Economics is complicated, right? Like, right. I assume the government was doing stuff like this before, and it's going to make it difficult to say, no, this is new authoritarianism. This is a right. new step in the wrong direction. It's a hard pitch to people who aren't completely glued to this, and by the time people will be glued to this, it will be far too late.
Yeah, and see, the thing with the patents, I think, is completely wrong. So setting aside most complaints against intellectual property law. If you do have patents, see, to me it's the same thing. Like, okay, for example, I have two patents for data discovery from 30 years ago. Does that mean that because I learned them, I learned my basic math at my college, or even worse, at my grade school, do they own a piece of my patents? Do they deserve a piece of my patents? This is what Lutnick is saying. Like, I would rather he said, I don't want to fund universities anymore in any way, shape, or form. If someone had said that in this administration, I would be for that. But once you give the money away, that's it. You've given it away. Let people be productive. Let universities be productive, right? So how much do they own? If the university patents, say, some gene recombinant theory or something, how much of that does the government get? Is it relational to their money? Do they get their money back, supposedly? If we're talking about coercion, none of us said, take my tax money and give it to war, give it to research, give it to Intel, give it to NVIDIA, give it to Harvard, right? We never said that. So it seems, I mean, Free, I hear what you're saying, but I think it also falls a little bit into the language that's being used. Tariff dividends are actually tax rebates if you do get them, right? Because tariffs are taxes. They're not money that's coming in from outside the U.S. It's money that our American companies are paying to import goods. They're the ones paying. So when I hear Bessin say, hey, we just raised $300 billion in tariff, isn't that awesome? No, that's a $300 billion tax increase you've hit us with. So if you decide to give us back a couple of bucks, that's a tax rebate. That's all it is, right? So, and it's redistributive, right? So because it still doesn't affect the inflation that incurs. So I disagree with you, Free, a little bit. I think it's more insidious. It's trying to normalize the nationalization of companies, resources, intellect. And in my opinion, it's just a furtherance of this authoritarianism that we're seeing from the Trump administration. I don't know. Does anybody want a last word before we move on?
Yeah, let me just clarify what I was saying, though.
Sure.
What I was saying is incrementally, if I have the choice between paying for this stuff and getting nothing back or paying for this stuff and getting something back, I would choose the something. Mm-hmm. If given a magic wand, I would make it all go away. But, you know, these patents like GPS technology, they – give it away for free, and then they get data on us back as payment on it and, you know, stomp on free speech and do things like that because they, you know, they hold the Trump card of, you know, we could take away your GPS technology, Google, if you don't do what we ask you to do. And so, yeah, I think it's all terrible, but if they're going to do something and it returns money to us, that's better than the stuff they do that just creates more war.
That just siphons the money and we get nothing for it but pain. Okay.
Allow me to go kind of hardcore ANCAP for a moment here.
You got to be a little quick.
Just buy me a second here.
Sure.
I'm very against intellectual property. I'm very against the patent system. I understand the concern that people who invent things deserve to be compensated. But think about this. We've got tons of human history where inventors were compensated. We come along, we develop this patent system, and what happens? All of a sudden, you got your Edisons taking credit for other people's work. You've got these drug companies that are like, oh, we'll go ahead and, oh, did you invent that? Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that. Look at this is what's happening on YouTube. We live in a system where everybody is now just has an official way of stealing other people's work. So this terror that we have actually has created a system that we're so worried about inventors not getting paid that we made a system so that inventors don't get paid. And I think it's really embarrassing the way it's worked out. I am open to hearing how you think a better patent system would work, but as it exists, it is just a way to take credit from inventors officially as opposed to unofficially.
Oh, wow. Is that – I'm sorry. I'm wearing my glasses. Is that Hody or Stephen Kinsella that I'm talking about?
Honored.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on. Before we do, let's catch up on the comments. Scientific Libertarian says, I'm staying up past my bedtime for this one, Free. Well, I appreciate you staying up past your bedtime, Scientific Libertarian. Thanks for joining the show. Minus 100 for scientific to scientific for complaining. Okay, fair enough there. Chris Townsend, one could argue socialism has empathetic tendencies. Trump and co. are ushering in a fascist state. I call it Macedonian fascism. Good point. There doesn't seem to be any compassion there. Let's see, David Ratch. Plus, taking 15% sales for NVIDIA and AMD chips to China, not quite a 10% Intel stake, but similar. Yeah, I consider that a VIG. Like, if you grew up in New York and you had a deal on occasion with the mobsters, that's just a VIG. Or if you're in Vegas, that's just the price of doing business. Let's see. Chris Townsend, to support Hody's point, laying out the red carpet for Newsom's brand of authoritarian rule. Yeah, if you're MAGA, you can't complain about anything that the Democrats are planning to do about any of this. And FYI, I've long said, I actually went back and checked my tweets from 2016, and I found a couple. I haven't posted them yet, but reposted them rather. But back then I said, Republicans are going to be surprised to find out that Donald Trump's economic policies are much closer to Karl Marx and Bernie Sanders than, say, Milton Friedman and Murray Rothbard or von Mises or somebody like that. He is very much not a free marketeer, and he's not a free market proponent, and we're seeing it right now. Terry, it's never about one person being in control. Once they get control, it is nearly, if not absolutely impossible to ever get any form of individual control back from the government. Of course, yeah, once it's gone, that's it. In the words of Billy Joel, you can't afford to squander what you're not prepared to pay. The government owns 7 million patents starting in 1790, either directly or through, quote, friends. Yes, they do end up. It all ends up going back. Casey, do it, Hody, all in caps. I'd scream, but I'd probably blow out the do it, Hody. Yeah, there you go. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. We're going to continue on wrapping up this show, and we will go to our next topic, which is, I'm looking through my notes. Yes, it's the data manipulation and institutional capture by the administration. What do I mean by that? First of all, those of us native New Yorkers like myself, for the past 30 years, we know Donald Trump never met a number that he couldn't mangle and just get completely wrong. He's not good with numbers, despite what he might tell you. It explains his several bankruptcies in private industry. But we constantly see this. We see it whether he's talking about his inflation numbers, his job numbers. When he was talking about inflation just yesterday, he said, hey, inflation's down. Egg prices are down, blah, blah, blah. Well, the actual stats are that groceries are up 5% year over year. When he talks about gas being super cheap, it's $1.50 in some parts of the country. Absolutely not true. The average price of a gallon of gas is $3.18. From this time last year, it's down slightly from about $3.30 a gallon. So you could see where, you know, you might find a kernel of truth, but it's typically exaggerations about his success, never mentions his shortcomings. And what we saw, Hody and Free, is that when people do kind of pin him on numbers, like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, downward revisioning all those jobs, guess what? They don't work for the government anymore. He fired the head of the BLS. And until they give him his revisions, which I think came out today, indicating that more jobs are coming out, you know, we made yet another mistake. You see this from the – they need to control the narrative. Pete Hegseth said, hey, boss, I got a good idea. And this was actually at their meeting that was televised. I got a good idea. I don't want to be the Secretary of Defense. I want to be the Secretary of War. We should go back to calling it Secretary of War, not Secretary of Defense, because Secretary of Defense sounds weak. We don't want to be on the defensive, boss. You're a leader. Let's do it. Secretary of War. We want to be lethal again. And you've got rubes cheering everywhere. Yeah, Secretary of War. That's the way we do it. You see, when he strong arms people who have been in their positions for a while, and I understand libertarian skepticism about entrenched bureaucrats. But at the same time, you have to understand why you're getting rid of people. It's not pro forma just to get rid of people. So, for example, constantly insisting that Jerome Powell resign because he's not giving in to his call for lowered interest rates. Now, Powell was originally brought in there under the Trump administration. He was reappointed by Biden. His term ends next year. But he's strong-arming what should be an independent body into the fiscal policy, monetary policy that Trump sees. Now, I understand the libertarian argument, and I'm for get rid of the Fed. I get it. But if the Fed exists, one of the reasons that ours works to the degree it does better than any other Fed in the world is because of its relative independence from the ruling political class. So, Hody, I'll start off with you on this one. Are we seeing the Orwellian doublespeak, the obsession with controlling language and making sure that everyone falls in line? I am reminded of Mike Termott, who when he interviewed for he was being considered for a position at CDC, working for the Kennedy folks there. The first thing he was asked was to sign a loyalty pledge, not to the Constitution, but to Donald Trump. That he had to, in writing, put down, I will be loyal to Donald Trump. Now, if they were asking somebody who was going to be 2-3 rungs down from Kennedy at CDC or HHS for a loyalty pledge, what do we think they're asking of Tulsi Gabbard? What do we think they're asking of Pete Hegseth? So it throws into doubt the independence of these people. So, Hody, can we trust anything? I mean, we can never trust what the government had to say. But even more so now, is it a case where we can't even get basic facts out correctly?
Yeah, this is a great way of making it look like you're shrinking government, but growing government. Great example. RFK Jr. fired half of the people that test to see if new drugs and foods can go on the market. What does that mean? You had a new food or a new drug? Hey, it's already a 20-year wait list. That wait list is now 40 years. Right now, is this bigger government or smaller government? Well, you're paying some guy less, I guess, right? Like we fired some inspectors, but this is a way for government to control more. So as we see, and DOGE did successfully get a lot of people fired. So we're paying a lot. We're not paying as much in employment, but we've got fewer hands now with, and of course, vastly increased spending at this point and vastly increased power. Look what they did to the Department of Education. Oh, we can't quite close it, but we're going to kind of dismantle it and give some of its power away. And oh, this job that used to belong to the Department of Education, we're going to go ahead and give that to the Department of Defense. Okay, this job that used to go to the Department of Education, we're going to give that to Homeland Security, right? Like, you've just got less people now. You're taking the jobs away from the people in Department of Education. Again, theoretically libertarian, right? But you're giving those powers away to other people who already have power. So this is just fewer hands with greater power. It's a way to look like you're doing the right thing. Now, as far as Trump's point, I'm sure a lot of these people – listen, it's the government. Are they manipulating data? Yes, of course they're manipulating data, right? Like this is – it's the government. These are politicians and cops. These aren't ethicists, right? These are bad people. And so are they sometimes – and I have no doubt that in D.C. they would sometimes be like, have you ever been let off with a warning, for example, when you got pulled over? You're manipulating data. That cop is not putting in the record that you were speeding. And so what Trump is doing is saying, no, You make sure to give that ticket out. Nobody's getting off with a warning here. Oh, did you have an illegal immigrant, but he's been here for 40 years. He's got his family. He's established in community. He's working at a hospital, you know, cafeteria. He's really done a great job. You guys haven't been reporting that person, and you knew he was there. You're manipulating the data. How dare you? And so this is a great way of appearing to be like you're doing a small government thing. Oh, I'm just trying to take care of some data manipulation here. But the result, of course, is you want bigger government. Now, I will say to the point you made about Dermott, this is something that I noted. Those who read Original Sin, it's a great book about, you know, Biden's last days in office and his decision to try and run again. Biden made all his staff swear an oath, and I'm trying to look for the exact quote here, but it's not to the Constitution, not to the American people, but to the Biden theology. Mm. Use the term theology. Wow. These people are absolutely out of their minds, right? Like politicians, they have no problem making sure you swear loyalty to Biden, to Trump. They specifically will tell you not to the American people, not to the Constitution.
Right.
And it's like, do you want those people controlling more things? Do you want fewer hands? Do you want fewer eyes in the room? Because that's what Trump is currently doing. We cannot allow that. Biden abused it, Trump's abusing it, and it's just going to get worse and worse if we don't put a stop to it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if you always have to quote your opponent to justify your actions, we're in the wrong ballgame. And whether it's Biden using Trump to justify his nonsense or Trump using Biden to justify his nonsense, it's just one endless cycle of nonsense. Free, talk to me about that. What do you think about it? Is there in some – I heard Hody say basically that the size of government may have been reduced a little bit, but the scope of it has actually grown, that it still retains its power and it's growing its power. Do you agree that – like is there some sort of ministry of misinformation that's sort of like a shadow ministry in the government? Like Stephen Miller – I've said this before. If you pull up a picture of Goebbels and put it side by side by Miller, the only difference is the amount of hair on the two. They look almost exactly alike, right? So do you feel there's that sort of level of propaganda that's coming out? I mean, I struggle with this because to Hody's point, the government always lies, right? But is there almost like a concerted effort to make it an art form with the Trump administration, especially when they tell you, hey, we're the most transparent administration in history? They'll self-tout that, right? So how do you feel about that?
I've always been a fan of the Casey Stengel quote where he said about bikinis. He said, statistics are like bikinis. They show a lot, but not everything.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, statistics are easy to manipulate.
Right.
And the problem that the Trump administration's coming up against here is that all of the things that are on our monthly credit card bills or, you know, the bills we get in the mail, all of those are going up still.
Right.
And, you know, it's not even just groceries, but, you know, I'm in Florida and, you know, our insurance rates have gone up, our utilities have gone up, you know, everything's gone up. And, you know, and one of the things that Trump ran on was repealing Obamacare. We haven't heard a peep about that. You know, health insurance costs have gone way up. The quality of healthcare has gone way down. You know, no talk about that at all. So I think he is getting, you know, some pushback on, you know, I'm not seeing where these costs are coming down. I'm not seeing inflation coming down, you know, on my bottom line. And, you know, everybody has their own checkbook that they can check to see, are they doing better than last year or, you know, their bank right. account. And I don't think anybody is. So, you know, I think that people are pushing back on that. And then I also want to push back on what Hody said. I don't even think the size of government has shrunk at all. I think that they've just, you know, moved people around and, you know, now they're going to hire those IRS agents that Biden wanted to hire. They're rehiring all the people that they fired in those previous DOGE cuts. The DOGE thing was an absolute, you know, disaster where,
right.
you know, it was supposed to be $2 trillion and it probably was somewhere close to 1% of that, if anything. And then they didn't codify any of those changes. You know, the budget's the highest it's ever been. The spending's the highest it's ever been. Nobody even talks about the, you know, trillions of dollars they printed since the beginning of the, you know, the COVID disaster. And then we have $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities that nobody talks about. So, you know, we're, you know, that 37 trillion number isn't even the scariest number out there for the debt. And, you know, you said it, and the Fed, we, you know, that would be a great step in the right direction. But, you know, the government, we need to just, you know, they talk about defunding things. Defund the government is really the only solution.
Yeah, just starve them out. Let me wrap this up a little bit by asking you guys this. Trump, and I understand that this was just trolling liberals, right? His people, for example, sent Gavin Newsom a lot of Trump 2028 MAGA hats, right, as a troll. Trump himself has said, we're looking into my running for a third term. Bannon has done several podcasts where he says, there are lawyers looking into the constitutionality of a third term. We think that it's there. Now, who knows, right? Because things that we thought were unconstitutional, we know the Trump administration, just like every administration, but the Trump administration really goes hard to do everything until they're literally pulled back. The guardrails are disintegrating. Do you guys think, two-parter, just to close the show, two-parter, do you think that Trump will attempt to run for a third term in 2028, assuming he's still around? And B, overall, have we, like, just floated completely even more over to authoritarianism? Let's start off with Hody.
I'm going to say no. I will admit I underestimated how disastrous Trump would be a little bit. Obviously, I didn't, like, endorse him or vote for him or anything like that. Like, I'm not that far gone. But, like, I knew he was, you know, problematic. I didn't know he would be this problematic. I honestly thought we'd be about here at the end of a four-year term, and we're there in 6 months. That said, I don't believe he will run again. I believe that this is a looming threat that he likes. I think that he enjoys the fact that he's 46 through 48 and not 46 and 48. Like, he's already had a third term in his mind. And I think that this is the legacy that he wants to leave. Now, the Republican Party will want him to go again, because there's nobody on deck that anybody's going to vote for, and they're in a lot of trouble. You know, they don't have this cult of personality that Trump had. And so I have no doubt that the GOP, like the nose sources you've seen, Big John, are accurate, right? They would like him to go again. I don't think Trump cares. I think this is always about him and his legacy, and he's fine with, you know, burning Republican, you know, relationships down. He's shown that in the past, right? Like with his Fox News, he wanted, almost boycotted it, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, you know, if they say anything bad about him, like, he's fine with burning down long-term donors, long-term established, you know, relationships.
Or associates. Look at Giuliani. Sure. Look at Powell. Look at all these people, right? He doesn't care. Everybody
right.
gets
Right, exactly. This is about him and his legacy. And I think to him, ending on this will be like a great legacy. I think even especially if he leaves the Republican Party in shambles, because then he'll get to say, well, I was the only thing they had going for them. Right.
Right,
like,
right.
That would be my opinion. But I will say this. We best be vigilant about it, because it is absolutely something that he would consider. And I have underestimated the depths of Trump's evil. And I knew he was on the Epstein list, and I still slept on exactly how evil he was going to be. So don't sleep on it. It's something that could happen.
Sure. Free.
Yeah. You know, I always think of I think it's a Scott Horton quote where he said, no matter who you vote for, you get John McCain.
Yeah.
I think going forward here, it's no matter who you vote for, you're going to get Peter Thiel. And, you know, the technocrats are coming, and I don't even really think it matters who's in charge. I think the biggest problem nowadays is Congress. You know, they've hacked the system where they can just print money and spend as much as they want. They get all their pork and earmarks and everything, and, you know, they pretend to oppose each other, and then, you know, whichever side's in power, you know, signs something with their name on it and says, oh, this is great, but everybody gets what they want anyways. So I think it's just so far gone. I struggle for any sort of solution other than, you know, get your money out of fiat currency and defund the government.
Okay. So I will end it by saying, I think he will, you'll hear more rumbles about him running for a third term, especially if the midterms turn out being disastrous for Republicans. Like, we all know midterm elections go against the party in power. That's, like, historical. It's very rare that they maintain their numbers. And because the House and the Senate are so just about evenly divided, it won't take all that many seats flipping for all of Congress potentially in the midterms to go back to the Democrats. And then now you have an opposition government to the presidency. So if that happens, I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see – I don't know that they'll be successful or not, but I wouldn't be surprised, Hody and Free, if you do see a lot of SCOTUS cases arguing that Trump should be allowed to run for a third term. I've heard some doomsdayers say, well, what if he decides not to leave office? What if he decides not to leave office and Hegseth is in his pocket and decides that the army is going to support him and they're not going to – you know, what happens then? I don't think we're at that point, but I wouldn't be surprised to see at least the attempt from Trump, again, if things go bad in 26, for him to run again in 28. All right, everyone, you've been watching Free For All. I think it was a fun episode tonight. Want to thank my co-host Hody Johns for joining me again, and also our guest Free from the Are You Smarter Than a Politician internet game show. Free, give another plug for your show.
Yeah, thanks. It's Are You Smarter Than a Politician? It's on Tuesdays and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And, you know, we're trying to make it fun to talk about politics. And, you know, so it's a entertainment format and satire and lots of jokes. And, you know, Hody did a great job when he's on. Like I said, Big John, we'd love to have you on. And, you know, we're trying to teach people about, you know, these challenges ahead of us in a non-doomsday way where we sure. say, you know, but wouldn't freedom be better? And, you know, wouldn't you prefer to keep your own money? And wouldn't you prefer to be able to defend your own family? Just, you know, simple suggestions like that that we try to talk about in different ways. And then it's very important to us to personify those in the movement. So we want right. everybody to see that we're just normal folks that have the same concerns as them. And, you know, we just happen to, you know, have an opinion on these things that we want to share with people. So really appreciate you guys having me on. This was a lot of fun. You guys do a great job. This is a great show.
Oh, thank you so much, Free. And we did appreciate having you on, and you're certainly welcome to come back anytime. And yes, I'll be happy to come on your show. Just send me an invite. I'll be happy to join you anytime. For the folks out there, yes, talk to people about liberty. I find that when I talk to people, especially youngsters, and just talk to them a little bit about liberty, maybe point them in the way of a Milton Friedman YouTube video or two, that they're open at least to the ideas. And that's where the promise for the future is. I'm too old for it. I'm a 60-year-old. There's no hope left for me. But for the younger generations, there might be some hope left. All right. To all our viewers out there, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the comments. Chris, Patty, Scientific Libertarian, I'm seeing some people scroll by, Terry, and everyone else that I might be forgetting right now. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of Free For All. Until then, peace, everyone.